Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This week's message is brought to you by Pastor Bill Chacon. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Relationships play an important part in our lives, and Pastor Bill shares how the Lord has been teaching him about several important points that are crucial in developing and maintaining healthy relationships. Using examples from the Bible, Pastor Bill shows how any relationship lacking these qualities will be difficult to maintain and hard-pressed to survive. This message is entitled, Our Relationship with God. Now, let's go to the sanctuary as Pastor Bill begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. You by webcast, and those of you that are here this morning. And I'm glad to see Pastor Terrell here, excuse me, in the congregation. I got to stop doing that because I know that's real loud. I have to be very careful. I can't say too many good things about Pastor Terrell. I was reprimanded, and so from now on, I'm only going to say bad things about him. All right? Praise the Lord. But it's good to be here on this Memorial Day weekend with you. And thank you, Pastor, for acknowledging that and acknowledging our veterans, because especially in the Vietnam era, they were not acknowledged nearly as much as I feel they should have been. But, you know, I was thinking the other day, I read this little thing about little Jimmy. You know, Jimmy was in church, and after the church service, he came out and he talked to the preacher. He said, Pastor, he says, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. And the pastor said, well, thank you, Jimmy. That's wonderful. He says, but why are you going to do that? He said, because my daddy said that you were the poorest preacher we've ever had. Well, let me tell you something. I hope that's not my case here. But, I'm going to speak today. And it's interesting how, since we've changed the format here a little bit, that last time I was here, it was a little different, and it's a little different now. And but now it kind of blessed me because of the people that came up and gave testimonies and talked a little bit, really talked about a lot about what I'm going to talk about today. And that's our relationship with God. It's something that's very dear to my heart, because that's really where I even started, basically started in Vietnam, and having my relationship with him. I did not know him then, but I know one thing. He knew me then. But let's stand and we'll open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we do lift up all the veterans, Lord God, today. And Lord, we just pray a blessing on them, Lord God, that they would, if they don't know you, Lord, we pray that they would come to know you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you've put me up here, Lord God, to give this message that you've given me, Lord. And I pray that each and every one that hears it within the sound of this voice, whether by webcast or here, Lord, that I pray if it be today, tomorrow, or 5 years from now that they hear it, Lord, that they would be blessed by it. And Lord God, that you would be able to move upon them. And Lord, they would come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, human beings, God created us to need relationships. And there are several key factors that God has shown me over the years that are very important to a relationship. First of all, turn to Genesis 2, if you would. Genesis 2 and verse 18. And he simply said this. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. Now, God had created about everything that was needed for creation up to this point. And now he knew that man, it was not good for him to be alone. So he created a helpmate for him. And, you know, my wife and I were just in Hawaii the last week or so. And while we were there, I had a strange experience. When I was there, I saw how beautiful Kauai is. And I see God's creation in Kauai also. you know, the people there, there a lot of superstition and a lot of false gods that they look at. And I, you know, I noticed one thing, that God was not given the glory that I saw there, he was not given the glory for creating such a beautiful place. Whether it came out of volcanic ash or whatever, it's amazing to see as you drive, you see all the volcanic rocks and you see all the volcano residue there. And you say the only way that beautiful things like these trees and all these beautiful flowers, there's trees over there that are huge as our oak trees and they got flowers on them. I have never seen that. I always see flowers on little plants. But these trees were beautiful. And as I was looking at that, I says, the first thing that comes to my mind was Romans, where God told us that we can see God in creation. We can see Him all around us. And I just wanted to somehow, you know, just express how beautifully God had done that. But about the fourth day that we were there, a very strange thing happened to me. I suddenly became very ill. In the night, I got up and I was throwing up and I was very dizzy. My body was acting very strange. And I realized at that moment that I really needed God's help. And I thought for a minute, I says, Lord, is it time for me to go? And I got up, I walked around, I drank some water, I came back and lay down. And you know, the first thing that I thought about doing was having my wife pray for me. And it's a beautiful thing when you have someone that you have that kind of a relationship with, that you can hold their hand, and they can hold your hand, and they can pray with you. And you know, right after she prayed with me, I felt a peace, I calmed down, and I went in, and I read the scripture of Psalm 51. And I just realized that we need that relationship. We need that relationship with someone like that. We need a relationship with someone. We also need our relationship with God. And that was the most important thing to me, is that I realized how important our relationship with God is. You know, He created us in the way that we need a relationship with Him. And so the first step that I feel that we need in a good relationship is to know the other person or the other one that we're going to have that relationship with. And knowing that person is crucial. And that seems to be a lacking thing in so many relationships today. I know I've performed a lot of wedding ceremonies, and I know Pastor has too, and that's not a good thing. I'm not saying a good thing here, Pastor. I'm just saying that I know you've done a lot of marriage ceremonies. But, you know, sadly to say, a lot of them don't work out. And a lot of the reason is, I believe, one of the important things is they don't know the other person. Some of them just never got to know the other person. They really didn't know who they were getting in that relationship with. It's interesting how things come out after you get married or after, you know, shortly after there. I'll tell you something. The clue to happiness, you know, is this. So maybe you can identify with this. Is to be happy with a man, a woman has to understand him a lot and love him a little. To be happy with a woman, a man has to love her a lot and not try to understand her at all. So, you know, I thought I'd get a few groans on that. But in Webster's dictionary, a relationship is defined as it's two words, relationship. A relation is a connection by reason of either established or discovered. And the ship part of it is the involvement of that relation. So we know that it takes involvement in that relationship to have it to grow. And I know I've heard pastors say this many times, but I recall it, that he talks about a garden. You know, if you plant something in a garden, whatever you plant in that garden, you take care of it, nourish it, and you're going to get that back out of that garden. You plant roses in it, you're going to get roses out of that garden. Whatever you plant into that relationship, the same way, is what you're going to get out of it. And that's the way. And God has shown me so many of these things that really are important to that relationship with Him. Now, if you turn with me to the book of Genesis once again, and if you look at chapter 18, verse 17, and I'm going to try to put these glasses on. I'm wired for sound here. I feel like the Terminator when I put all this stuff on here, and I have to be very careful that I don't get too excited and knock it off there. Genesis 17, and I'm sorry, Genesis 18, verse 17. Are you there? All right. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him." God said, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." God knew Abraham. God knows us. God knows us in so many ways that we don't realize. Turn again with me, if you would, to Matthew 12. And verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let me tell you something. God knows every word that comes out of our mouth. He hears every word that comes out of our mouth. He knows before we say them what's going to be said. And by those words, we're judged. And you know, that's a pretty scary thing. Because I think back in my life, of some of the things that I've said. And it's not a pretty thing. It's not a pretty thing. And it's something that God has dealt with, along with my wife, has dealt with, to try to keep my vocabulary intact. And it's something that sometimes, you know, we have a reaction all of a sudden. You know, we get an emotion. We get angry. And, of course, what comes out of our mouth? Something horrible. And, you know, God hears those words. You know, one thing, when I was studying music in college, I took a music class because I thought I wanted to go in there and I'd learn how to play the guitar better. Well, I went in there and I found out about theory, and I got way off on this theory stuff. But I learned that vibrations, you know, never go away. That once a sound is started, it never goes away. It just simply goes out into space. And that's how we get these radio frequencies. That's how we get these frequencies and pick them up. They're out there. So every word that is ever spoken is in existence right now. And I, of course, you know, the professor's down there teaching something on music theory, and I'm out here in space listening to all these sounds saying, "Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that." But you see, all these sounds are something that we, once we start them, we can't stop them. And so God hears these sounds, and it's very important that we control that tongue. And James says that if we can control that tongue, and unfortunately, we are not real good at it. We need God's help to do that. So God knows us, our thoughts, our words. He also tests us. Look at Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, verse 11. You know, one thing about getting ready to do a presentation, a sermon, it's a beautiful thing because, you know, God just takes me all over his word and he shows me so many things that I've read so many times before and I forgot. And it's a good thing that we stay in his word. And it's because in his word we find our life, we find everything, we find answers for all things. In Genesis 22, 11, 12. Also, what I thought about, Pastor, if you ever have me come up here again, what I'm going to do is instead of going through all these scriptures and writing them down, I'm going to have Satiris stand over here. And every time I need a scripture, I'm just going to point to him and he'll quote it verbatim. Right? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, where was it? Amen. All right. Genesis 22:11, right? All right. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, you know, I thought about this, and I know that God knew what Abraham would do. God knows what we will do. I believe that God tests us, so we'll know what we'll do. So we'll learn something about ourselves. Sad to say, so many tests that God has put me through, I haven't passed. Praise the Lord, I've passed some. Praise the Lord, I've passed some important ones. But if we think about it that way, if we think about the fact that God is testing us so we will see ourselves, so we will see what he sees, and then we'll have a little different outlook on it. So he tests us. So he knows us. He searches us. I want you to look at Psalm 139. I'll use this scripture in a couple places, but Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. David speaking, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me, and knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. You know, David was one that God tested so many times. And David was one, probably one of the Old Testament people that really had a relationship with God. And so many times, just like that night when I was laying there, and I went to Psalm 51. You know, I sat there and I said, Oh God, you know, I feel like I've strayed from you. I feel like a lot of times I feel like I've done something wrong. And you know, God reassured me, as my wife prayed with me, that I didn't do anything wrong necessarily. The only thing that I was doing was my relationship with him was getting distant. And I needed to come back to that relationship. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in the beauty of this world. It's easy to get caught up in the things of this world. It's easy to get caught up in our everyday lives. And it's easy to get caught up in our problems. But God says that the answer to all those things is in him. The answer to our problems is in him. The things that we are blessed with are of him. The things that the situations that we come up to against in life are things that he can help us through. And it's called a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And these men had great relationship with men that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But he knows us. Now, the question is, do we know him? Do we know him? It's impeccable that we know him. Look at the Gospel of John 17. In John 17 and 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, as I was driving around that beautiful island over there, and I looked around, and you know, you see images of different gods that they worship over there, that they have statues of them like that, and you know, a lot of people are really into the natural life, and my heart got empty. Maybe that's what happened in 4 days. Maybe what happened is I was feeling a little bit of that natural, quote, natural that was going on. Because I'd look at the rocks, and, you know, the first thing they say is, well, all this came out of a volcano. Okay, that's fine. It's fine that it all came out of a volcano. But who created the volcano? The volcano could not have life come out of it unless God was in it. And I felt that as I was driving around there, I felt that maybe I was getting caught up in all the natural things of this beautiful island. And maybe that's what happened to me on that fourth night. That maybe I felt very empty because I started questioning. I started questioning things. And it's a horrible place to be. That's called a place of being alone. When you start separating yourself from God, once you know Him, it's a place of being alone. And it's a lonely, lonely feeling to be alone without God. And, you know, there was a time in my life right after I graduated from Bible college that I stepped in the mire, you might say. And I did something that I was not happy with myself. And I felt a darkness come over my life. I felt a darkness in my room. And I fell on the floor and I started weeping and crying. And I knew that I had separated myself from God. And I just cried out to God and asked Him, I says, to forgive me. I did not want to be separated from Him. It was a lonely, horrible, cold feeling position. And a beautiful thing happened. God forgave me. God forgave me. And it was such a beautiful feeling after that. I did not want to sin. I did not want to get separated from Him. The word amartia, to miss the mark that God has for us. I did not want to be in that place. Because once we know Him, and we know His goodness in our life, you know, to trod Him underfoot, as Hebrews says, once again, what a horrible thing it is to do to God once we know what He's done for us, the beauty of it. I want to take you to 2 Timothy, because knowing God is very, very, very simple if we look at it. If we look at what His Word says, look at 2 Timothy 1, and we'll look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affections of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, by the manifest is He's made known to us by the appearing. And the sad part about it is so many people, just as I did, you know, I grew up in Catholicism. And there was no way I was going to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I was just so distant from Him. I had to go through too many people, you know. And everybody was, and the way I looked at it is everybody that I went to was a little bit closer to God. They were better people than me. And they had never done anything wrong. So I would walk around in my little world of complete darkness and loneliness. And quote sin. I mean, even as a boy of 7 and 8 years old, I thought I was the worst thing that ever walked the earth. And I, you know, but if I would go through these steps of Catholicism and do all these things, then I would be a better person. You see, I was totally headed on the wrong track. I could never be a better person by things that I would do. But I would only ever be a better person if by the knowledge of Him. When I would come to know Him. And I was not headed in that direction. I was coming in the knowledge of a quote, church structure, rather than a personal relationship with the Lord. And I'll tell you, when you're laying in a room and your heart is beating three times as fast as it's supposed to be. Your blood pressure is up. You're throwing up blood. You're doing things that, and now you are in a place where you don't need religion. You need a close relationship with the Lord. And I'll tell you something. It's a beautiful thing to be able to come out of a pit like that, holding his hand. Holding his hand, knowing that everything... It says right there, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if we know that, if we believe that, if we trust him, then these things will... We're going to face these things, but we'll be able to go through them. We'll be able to go through them and we'll be victorious in them. Now, let me go to the next point here. This is a bonus scripture. You know, a pastor always gives bonus scriptures. That's not a good thing. I'm just telling that's what he does. Okay, John 1, Gospel of John 1. And, you know, he's said this many times, and I've preached on it many times, but this is very important because knowing God is also knowing who he is. Knowing who he is. I never knew who Jesus Christ was. I think I was 28 years old before I knew it, who he was. Little did I know that he knew me and he had his hand on me all those years. You know, when I used to sit in Vietnam, I'd sit in it. We had pull guard duty every third night. No matter what you did, you were always pulling guard duty or doing something where you know, there was a lot of danger in it. And I remember I used to sit out there and we pulled, you know, four-hour stretches, and then somebody else would do it, or 2 hours. I don't remember when they were, but it seemed like forever. But we'd take these stretches, and we'd sit there, and of course we'd look out into the jungle, and we'd see the firefights going on, and we'd hear the bombs going off, and you know, you'd lay there, and of course you'd remember the stories of people that were sleeping, and when you went to sleep on your guard, and somebody would come through, one of the VC would come through and cut your throat. So it was hard to sleep. It was very, very much intense fear there. And I remember when I was laying there, I used to look up at the sky and I would say, "Oh God, what am I doing here? Oh God, where are you? Oh God, who are you?" You see, because that was a reality to me. That was a fearful place to be. And I was just a young man and I did not know. And I know this, that God looked down on me and he knew me. He knew that someday I'd be standing up here and telling you about him. And so he preserved me and he spared me. And today I can tell you, I know this, in the Gospel of John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you jump up to verse 14, I won't read all that. You can read it for yourself. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's him, the only begotten. The only begotten. We were not begotten. He was the only begotten. In Romans, I won't read it. In Romans, it tells us that we were by adoption. We're grafted in. We're by adoption. But he was the only begotten. So, to know him is to know who Jesus was. We see him. We see God through Jesus. We see God in Jesus. So that's how we get to know God. We get to know him by looking upon Jesus, what he did for us, who he was. You know, so many religions right now will not agree with the scripture. That's a sad thing. They don't believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't think any of the apostles knew Jesus better than John. And he said that he was God in the flesh. And that's what a lot of religions can't absorb that. But he is who he said he was. Praise the Lord. So knowing the other person in a relationship is crucial. Also trust. How many of you know that trust is important in a relationship? You know, one of the things is, I had to learn trust. I just, you know, I wasn't born trusting anybody. It took a lot of years for me to learn to trust somebody. I remember when my wife and I first got together, you know, I was not a trustworthy fellow, so therefore I didn't feel my wife was a trustworthy fellow. So what I did is I couldn't trust her. I felt like I couldn't trust her. I had to keep my eyes on her all the time and keep my eyes on, I remember there was a song that I used to sing. It says, when you're in love with a beautiful woman, he says, you watch her eyes. You watch her. You watch everything. That's a paranoid place to be. And that's where I was. I didn't know how to trust her. Now, I'm not going to tell you that when I came to this church, Pastor taught me a lot of stuff about trust, but because that's a good thing, and I'm not going to say that. All right. I'm only going to say bad things about you, Pastor. All right. Trust. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And again, I keep hitting this thing. Sorry about that. Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. But, you know, go to Psalm 125. Here, I think I'm not sure if that's in your notes, but I'll give you a bonus scripture. This is the one I really want. Psalm 125. Yes, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. How do you learn to trust God? How do you learn to trust God? First of all, we have to know Him. We have to believe in Him. We have to know who He is. And then we can learn to trust Him. The same as a relationship. We have to know about that person. We have to learn about that person. We learn through our circumstances, through our situations, through our everyday lives. You know, there was a saying once that a young preacher said. He said, a calm sea does not a good sailor make. And that really stuck with me. You know, a calm sea is not going to make a good sailor. He's got to have a rough sea so he can learn how to sail, so he can learn how to tack that boat, how he can survive in a rough sea. Why? Because there's going to be rough seas in our life. There's going to be rough times in our life. There's going to be rough times in relationships. Oh, how well we know that. There's going to be rough, rough times in our relationships. And unless you know that person, unless you know the Lord, it's not going to survive that sea. It'll drown. It'll sink. So those testings, just as God tested Abraham, those testings in a relationship are vital that we survive them. And with the Lord, we can survive them. Praise God. I'll give you one more there. Romans 15. Now, I know that last time I took a little bit of time, and I went a little bit over. So I'm trying to move through this very quickly here because, let's see. I think I was given a little bit shorter time this time. I think they gave me a little shorter time because that way, if I go over, I'll still be under. Something like that. Okay. Romans, where was I going? Oh, Romans 8. Yes. No, I gave you that one. No, I'm Romans 15. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. That's why we hand out notes, huh, Pastor? So they can help us find it? All right. I remember when that one day that I told Pastor that I was saying how Pastor, I asked him a question about where a scripture was, and he told me where it was, and then I got up here and I applauded him and says, you know, it's nice to be able to turn to Pastor Terrell and ask him for where a scripture is, and he told me right where it was. And then he said shortly thereafter, God humbled him. So to stop saying things like that about him. Every time I say something about him like that, God humbles him, he says. So I have to be careful. Sorry, Pastor. I'll try only say bad things. Okay. Where was I? Romans 15, is that what I said? Okay, in verse 12. And again, as Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Who the Gentiles? That's us. That's who, in God will we trust. We must trust God. We have to know Him. We have to learn who He is. And we have to also learn to trust Him. And then once we can trust Him, We can go to the next step. We can communicate with him. Communication with God. You know, I was watching this, I think it was last night. Yeah, last night, it's amazing that I saw a old Billy Graham revival, 1958. And I was thinking back in 1958, I probably wonder if I even had any indication at all about who Billy Graham was. But I was looking at this, it was in black and white, and I was watching it. And interesting that his whole title was Our Relationship with God. I'm looking, wait a minute now, Lord, you gave me this a week and a half ago. And here I'm watching this last night. But the beautiful thing about Billy Graham was that his message hasn't changed. And his message is not much different. You know, it's a basic fact about knowing Jesus is in our relationship and developing that relationship with God through Christ. And it brought to mind a little thing that I read about Billy Graham once. It said that Billy Graham said when he was a young minister, he went into this town. And when he got there, he was going to go preach a sermon there in the church that evening, and he wanted to mail a letter. So he stopped a little boy on the street, a little seven-year-old boy, and he said, excuse me, son. He said, can you tell me how to get to the post office? So the little boy gave him some nice directions and stuff like that. And Billy Graham said, well, thank you very much, son. That's very nice. That's very good. I appreciate that. He says, listen, son. He says, tonight I'm preaching a message, and I'm going to be telling people tonight how they can get to heaven. And the little boy says, well, I don't think I'll be there. And he says, why not? He says, well, you don't even know how to get to the post office. So I realize that Billy Graham was very humble, and he wasn't embarrassed to say things about himself. Now, according to what I read, it was a true story. So I thought that was a good way to humble Billy Graham, Pastor. So we know all about being humbled. All right, praise the Lord. So communication with God. Prayer, you know, Pastor mentioned prayer here. And I never knew that. I guess I knew it. I just never thought about it. But, you know, the Muslims pray. You know, so much more than we do sometimes. And so many of the other religions, even Satan, that is amazing that they get the communication, because prayer is communication with God. That's what prayer is. Our prayers to Him are our communication. And it's unfortunate that God has to let us get into situations before we pray. You know, before we communicate with Him, we have to get in these dark, ugly situations. And as I was laying there that night and my wife prayed with me, I realized maybe I haven't been in enough prayer. Maybe I haven't been praying enough. You know, I appreciate things that I see that God has made. I do this up. But how many times do I spend communicating with God? It's a communication. And you can't have a relationship without communicating. How many of you know that? You can't have a relationship without communication. Now, these guys learned communication. They communicated with God. Look at Moses in Exodus. Go to Exodus 4. Exodus 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made a man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I'll stop there, because I'm just amazed at the communication between Moses and the Lord. God got angry with Moses. And that shows me that they were really communicating. And Moses was almost argumentative with the Lord. And I know that Jacob did it. But in another scripture, you know, it's let me see if I can find it. I think it's 32:30. Let's go to that. Exodus. Yeah, Exodus 32:30. I think that's the one I want. Yes. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. So he knows he learned back there that he could communicate with the Lord. He had a communication with him. He's going to go there for the people and make a communication. But look what he does. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Wow. Moses knew how to communicate with God to the point where he would negotiate for sinners. He negotiated for those people. Because why? Because Moses knew he was a lot like them. He had done it once himself. He had done it. He had committed a murder once before. And he knew that God had forgiven him. And he had that relationship with God, that he knew that God would forgive him. But he also knew God's compassion. Now, it doesn't always mean that God will do what we ask. How many of you know that? God doesn't always answer our prayers, does he? And God said, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So it was just a matter of saying, well, I appreciate your concern, Moses, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And so we can communicate with him, but it always work out in our favor. All right. So but the point I'm trying to make here is that the communication that took place there. And so many times I have seen God work in my life that it was amazing. I had people call me when I was in the ministry and just, I mean, literally cuss me out for something. I'm going, Lord, what is going on here? What is going on here? Why are these people get very angry? You know, people get angry with a pastor, but what comes out of their mouth, I says, whoa. And, you know, I said, what did I do to deserve this, Lord? And I realized that God was showing me that emotions and people don't realize what those words, how they're going to be affect somebody. But they would, you know, when I heard this, I said, Lord, get me out of the ministry. I want out of here. Am I walking too far? I know I'm trying to stay within this little thing here. But I said, Lord, these people, they don't have a right to talk to me like that. You know, I don't understand. But let me tell you something. I had to remember how I talked. I had to remember the many horrible things that I had done to people. And I had to remember that God had forgiven me. God had forgiven me. That takes me to my next point, to forgiveness. How many of you know forgiveness is oh so important in a relationship? I want to tell you a little something here. This is a little something that I read. It's called The Anniversary Gift. It says, my wife was hinting about what she would like for our upcoming anniversary. She said, I would like something shiny that goes from 0 to 150 in 6.4 seconds. So I bought her a scale. That's when the fight started. Let me just tell you something. You know, forgiveness, that's my point here. You know, forgiveness is so crucial in a relationship. How many of us ever said something we wish we could take back? Okay, many hands. Yes. And I remember my wife said, well, you can't take that back. Yes, you said it. No, wait a minute, I'm sorry. And, you know, she said, well, you can't just take back when you say something like that. So we got to be very careful with what we say. But also, you know what? We're going to say things sometimes we really shouldn't. That's where forgiveness comes in. If we can't learn to forgive, you see, that's one thing about knowing God. Because God said something very interesting. Let me see if I can get to it here. Let's go first to 2 Chronicles. I'll try to stay with my notes. How many of you know I'm not real good at staying with my notes? All right, praise the Lord. All right, go to 2 Chronicles. I usually don't use notes, but pastors, you got to have used notes on this thing. All right, you got to, because everybody follows us in the, you know, out in the webcast and stuff. So I'll pray for you, people in the webcast, that you'll be able to follow my notes here. Okay, what did I say? Second Chronicles. Yeah, just before. Okay, Second Chronicles 7, chapter 7. And yeah, Second Chronicles 7:12. And I love this scripture. I love this scripture. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Right away, Solomon was a communicator with God. Solomon communicated with God. And he, again, God spoke to him and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there is be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, God communicates with us very simple. Repent. Turn from our wicked ways. You know what our wicked ways do? They hurt. They hurt others. They hurt others that we're supposed to love. They hurt God because we represent Him. Look at, but forgiveness is such an important, let's go to Matthew. Matthew, 6. And verse 14 and 15. You know, Jesus just flat laid it out to us. And a lot of people will read verse 14, but they won't read verse 15. Verse 14. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But verse 15. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It's conditional, isn't it? It's conditional. If you forgive, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive, you know, that's why are so many people in bondage? Because they can't forgive. You know, if we keep digging up the past, if we keep going back to who we were, I know my brother Fred was supposed to be here, but he's not here. He reminded me of somebody I dated in high school, and they didn't think very highly of me, and they made a comment to my brother, and my brother says, "Well, he's really changed. You should know him now." And she goes, "No, I don't believe that." But he said, and so I said, "Wow, that really hurts to think that somebody thinks that of me, that you know, I wasn't the best fellow in town." And he goes, "Oh, that's okay. We were all creeps in high school." And I go, "Well, okay." That made me feel better. So, but. You know, if we keep digging up the past, we're never going to get anywhere. I remember Janice's dad said once, and he had some pretty clever little sayings for a Southern boy. He said, "He who lives in the past has no future." You know, if we keep living in the past and keep digging up the past, God said our sins, He remembers no more. No more. What sins are you talking about? But people remember them. People don't forget them. You know, and if you haven't forgotten them, you haven't forgiven it. You know, my wife and I would not be where we are today if she hadn't been able to forgive me. And I had to forgive her too. Not much, but I had to forgive her too. I don't want to get in trouble when I go home. It's all about forgiving. And the person that is in the bondage is the non-forgiver. You know, I remember in a time in my life when, you know, I was just, you know, people accepted me as being a bad boy. And so I just accepted myself as being a bad boy. And if you're a bad boy, and if people tell you you're bad, you just say, "Well, thank you." Because it's a compliment. That's I'm a bad boy. Okay, I've accepted that. And you know, if you go through life just saying, "Well, I'm a bad boy, so therefore I'm a bad boy," and you start living what people say you are, and you accept that. Well, let me tell you something. If you are a new creation in the Lord, you're a new creation, all things are passed away. All those former things are passed away. And you become a new creation. What does that mean? That means you're a new person. And God has forgiven you. Well, all right, now I'm a new person. God's forgiven me. Who am I to go point my finger at somebody? Who am I to go, you know, say, well, you know, you really need to straighten your that over there. And you need to, you know, just say, why don't you just say, look, God has done this for me, and I know he can do it for you. God has done this for me, and I was worse than you. Oh, I can say something bad about Pastor Terrell. I read your book, Ina. Well, we read some of it. And I was surprised at some of the things that Pastor Terrell did in his past. I says, no wonder he understands me. But if we can't forgive, then God won't forgive us. You know, it's amazing how we don't listen to that part of it. You know, we all say we've been forgiven. Yes, we have. So now, therefore, let us forgive. Let us release ourselves from that bondage. Forgiveness is so important. Go to Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse, Luke 6, 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You know, it couldn't happen any simpler than that. You know, a few weeks ago I preached on the simplicity of the gospel. You can't get any simpler than that. Who cannot understand that? Forgive, and it'll be forgiven you. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Go to the same chapter. Here's one of my favorite scriptures here. And without this scripture, if I hadn't read this scripture, Luke 7, I call it the 747 airplane type thing. I like it. But it's Luke 7, 40 through 47. And I love this because this just told me so much about knowing God. It just touched me so much. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I guess if you haven't had much to be forgiven for, it's kind of hard for you to forgive and love others. But God is saying that, well, if you've been forgiven a lot, which most of us have, I know I have, then I should be all the more merciful. I should be all the more forgiving. I should be all the more loving. To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much. I know people today that will not release their bitterness for the past. I know people that hang on to a hurt or a bitterness that was from days gone by, years ago, that they just won't let go of. And yet they proclaim to be Christians. They go to, you know, they go to church service every Sunday. They go to all the meetings. They do all the things. They go feed the homeless. But they're bound up by hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, it's just amazing. It's amazing that we can think that we are to be forgiven by God, but we are not to forgive anybody else. It's a difficult thing sometimes, especially if we feel that we've really been personally wronged. Personally hurt. You know, when people called me from in that little church that I was at for about 4 years. I pastored for 4 years. You know, and some of the things they said to me about, I didn't even realize why they were saying them, but they were hurt. They thought that I should be a different way or been there for them in a certain way or something like that I didn't even know about. And they just read me the, what's that, Riot Act or something? And I says, I didn't understand that. But I had to forgive that. I had to forgive because if I didn't forgive it, I would have walked away from the ministry. If I didn't forgive it, I would not be proclaiming that I was a Christian today. I couldn't. I had to forgive. Because there was a time when I had, my brother Fred's not here again, and he used to come and tell me about Jesus, and I'd grab him by the throat and tell him to shut up, literally. And he would sit there and tell me that I needed to know the Lord. And I says, you need to shut up. That's the way I was. I was just that blunt. And yet I couldn't look back and realize that God had drugged me through a war and saved me and preserved me and had plans for me. And I was bitter. I had to forgive my brother for that. He didn't do anything wrong. I was the one doing something wrong. That was a joke. All right. Let's go to my last point. Love. My last point is the love. You know, if you don't understand love, which I never did, you'll never understand God. And if you don't know how to love, you'll never have a relationship. But love is, there's two words used in the King James. And one of them is agapeo. All of you have heard of that before. Which is it's a heavenly love. And it's a godly love. But also in the King James, it calls it charity. And the reason that King James uses that word charity is because they want you to know that it's a agapeo love rather than just using the word love, or because the other word is phileo. And of course, you know, phileo love is more of an emotional or a brotherly type love. But when God speaks to us of love, he uses, you know, in a lot of the scripture, it uses the two different words. But in these cases, we're using the word agapeo. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, which is probably the best scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, called the love scripture. And I'm going to read this whole thing because I believe that this scripture is one of the best scriptures to combat self-righteousness. Because sometimes, you know, we can get so churchly minded and so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. I'm sure you've heard that before. And we seem to forget that the greatest thing we have is love. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I have not charity or love. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to the burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, here's a man who was so religious, he knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards almost, he said, and he knew it better than most other people. And in the name of religion, or in the name of God, he had women, children, men who believed in the way, in Christ. He had them put in prison, even to the point of execution, because they believed in this new Jesus, who was not new, but was a new thing to him. And he, now, when he met Jesus, when God got a hold of him, he says in due time that God brought him out of this place he was in and revealed his son to him. From that time, he writes scriptures like this. Though I speak with the tongues of angels, though I have prophecy, though I have the gift, though I can do all these things, whether the gift of healing, all these things that so many, quote, Christian religious people do, though they have all these things, if they don't love, if they don't have that agapeo love, that charitable love, they got nothing. Wow, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. Because if we don't have it, we don't have any other stuff. It's vanity. It's vanity. Let's go to the final scripture here. No, that's not my final, but I'm gonna finish up with this. Go to John, 1 John. 1 John 4. Go to verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That God is love. To know God is to love him. How could you not love a God if you really know who he is? If you really know God's love for us, he loved us first. And once we realize who he was, what he did for us, and his love for us, how can we not love him? One of the reasons that Janice and I have survived in this relationship is because in times like the other night, in times past when I needed to be forgiven, she forgave. But most of all, she showed me a love for me that I'd never known. You know, once you know that person really loves you, it's easy. Now you know them. Now you can communicate with them. Now you can trust them. Now you can forgive. All these things come into place if you know that person and you know that that person truly loves you. And the reverse. When these things take place, when you have these five things, that other person sees them in you. And you know, because we have these rough roads, Paul, who knew God and communicated with him, said, I glory in my tribulations, because tribulation works patience, and patience hope. And that's what happens in our relationships. When we have tribulations, when we get through those tribulations, they've made us stronger. They've made us stronger, and our relationships will survive. And it's the same with God. When we have that communication with him, when we have that trust, when we have that knowing him and that forgiveness, we know that he has forgiven us, and we have that love from him, we have a relationship with him. And that's the most important thing that we can have as Christians, if we really have that close relationship with God. You know, it says we know them by their fruits. It says, the word tells us that, you know, without, you know, that we're saved by grace, and not by works. Yet James says we'll know them by their works. We know, you know, we have a process that we go through. But the greatest thing that we have is love. That's the unselfish love, unmerited, favorable love that comes from God. And we have to learn how to share that in spite of the other. We know that the other isn't perfect. And so many of us can sit up here and say, well, you know, she did this, he did that, they did this, they did that. But if we look at ourselves and what we've done, then maybe we can see what God has forgiven us. Let's stand as we close. I will ask you by webcast, and I'll ask those that are here, this question. How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you know Him? Do you know how much He loves you? Do you feel maybe that you haven't known Him the way that you really want to? Do you want that relationship with Jesus that we talk about here? Maybe you're saved, but you feel alone. Maybe you need prayer. You can call us or contact us here at EAEC. Let us pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, that we can forgive because you've forgiven us. Thank you, Lord, that we can have that relationship with you, Lord God, and we can have relationship with one another, Lord, just as you told us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, now I'm going to have the elders come forward. And if any of you can say that you would like to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, if you have a need, if you have a physical need or a spiritual need or whatever it might be, these elders are here to pray for you. And God is here. And as one said earlier today, we have not because we ask not. But if you come and ask, have them pray for you, I believe God will hear you and answer.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner. and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Chacon speak from Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Our Relationship with God. The Lord goes to great lengths to develop relationships with His people. Our Creator knows us intimately, and in developing our relationship with Him, will test and search our hearts to see if we implicitly trust Him. When God tested Abraham, it was not so much that God needed to know if He could trust Abraham, but it was Abraham that needed to know who he was and what he was capable of doing for God. The test wasn't pleasant, but it built Abraham's strength and character and increased his trust and faith in the Lord. To know God is to love Him, yourself, and others around you. How is your relationship with the Lord? And are you being perfected in His unconditional love? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1344. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Chacon, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.